Get everything you need to bring home the holidays on Black Friday at Menards. Doors open 6 a.m. A Nerf Blaster Dog Toy Blast Tennis Ball 75 feet. Fun for you and your pup. Just $15.99. Delicious Dubai Chocolate is $12.99 a bag. Color-changing Squish Lamps and Performax Drill Bit Sets are only $4.99 each. Menards has great Black Friday gifts for everyone in your family. Doors open 6 a.m. on Black Friday. Good through November 30th. See Menards.com for details.
Have you ever had a moment where you think, man, someone should really do something about this? Then you realize, maybe that someone is you. Well, with the help of GoFundMe, you can change someone's life. You could start a GoFundMe to help a friend pay for school, fund that new community space, or help a local kid finally get to that national competition. I've seen this myself. Last year, a friend of mine launched a GoFundMe to help with medical bills after an unexpected surgery. It was incredible how fast the support rolled in. People want to help. They just need a way to do it. And GoFundMe makes it easy. So, do you have a dream, a person, or a cause in your life that could use some support? Don't wait for someone else to bring change. You can be the one who makes a difference. GoFundMe is the world's number one fundraising platform, trusted by over 200 million people. Start your GoFundMe today at GoFundMe.com. That's GoFundMe.com. GoFundMe.com.
You're listening to Messianic Moments, the podcast that explores biblical truth from a Messianic Jewish perspective. We invite you to join us as we dive into the richness of the Jewish faith in Messiah Yeshua. Unlock the transformative power of Scripture and learn how to apply biblical wisdom in our daily lives. Whether you're a seasoned disciple of Messianic Judaism or just curious about this unique faith, welcome to Messianic Moments Podcast.
Shalom, shalom. This week's Torah portion is Parsha Pinchas in Numbers chapter 25 all the way to 29. A little quick summary for Parsha Pinchas, Numbers chapter 25. We are dealing with the zeal of Pinchas, also known in English as Phinehas or Phinehas. Numbers chapter 26, we have the census of the new generation. In chapter 27, we have the daughters of Zelophehad and Joshua appointed as Moses' successor. In chapter 28, we have a bunch of offerings here for the rest of the Parsha. We have the daily offerings, the Sabbath offerings, the monthly offerings, offerings at Passover, at the festival of Shavuot or weeks. And then we have at the very end of this Parsha in chapter 29, the offerings at the festival of trumpets, also known as Rosh Hashanah. We have the Day of Atonement, Yom Kippur, and of course, Sukkot, or the festival of booths. So that's a little rundown of this week's Parsha. Now, there is something that I wanted to focus on in this week's Parsha, and that is based on the very person that this Parsha is named after, Pinchas, which is very interesting because Pinchas is at the very beginning of this week's Parsha, and then the rest of the Parsha is about offerings. So this Parsha is named after a man that has very little stage time, if you want to use that term, very little stage time on this week's readings. And so I wanted to focus on him and the zeal that Pinchas showed and showcased. So this week's Torah portion of Pinchas is about a man who zealously dealt with the immorality of the Israelites at the time and brought national relief to Israel from a divine plague because of their sexual immorality. Now, the Jewish sages taught in Yalkut Shimoni 771 that Pinchas possessed the soul of Eliyahu, the neshama of Eliyahu, the prophet who announces the true and complete redemption. They connect this with Pinchas' righteous indignation and passionate vengeance to the outcome of his somewhat messianic transformation for the Jewish people at this time from a situation of spiritual deprivation, which is during their time of worship of Baal of Peor, and national emergency, which is the divine plague, to one of divine redemption and a covenant of shalom, of peace, eternal, perpetual shalom. So for this reason, this parsha is read at the outset of the 3 weeks of mourning, which is what we are currently going through at the moment. We started with the fast, and then we are in the 3 weeks of mourning, because this parsha encourages us to transform these 3 sad weeks of Jewish history into days of feasting and rejoicing. Baruch Hashem. Now, the sages connecting Pinchas to Eliyahu is similar to the ministry of repentance, of teshuvah, that Yochanan, or John the Immerser, had, who came also in the spirit of Eliyahu to usher in Messiah. So there's some interesting similarities and connections between Pinchas's zeal for morality, for the zeal for the Torah and for keeping the Torah and for bringing the people away from this divine plague that was affecting them, and the life and ministry calling on Yochanan, John the Immerser. So there's some interesting connections there. Now, another figure in this week's parsha is Joshua, who became the man over the congregation, according to this week's parsha, of Israel. So he became the man over the congregation, the man over the kehillah of Israel, or in the Greek, the ekklesia of Israel. Now, in the parsha, it says, appoint a man over the congregation, who will go out and come in before them, and who will lead them out and bring them in, so that the congregation of the Lord of Hashem will not be like sheep who have no shepherd. Numbers chapter 27, verses 16 through 17. The Lord told him to lay hands on Joshua, the son of Nun, to designate him as his successor. Right? The appointment of Yahushua, or Joshua, as, quote, the man over the congregation, alludes to the appointment of Yeshua in Aramaic, of Nazareth, the Messiah and King of Israel, the head over the body, the head over the assembly, the ecclesia, the kehillah. Now, Yehoshua is Hebrew, so that is the Hebrew name of Joshua. So Joshua is the English translation of Yehoshua. Yehoshua in Aramaic is truncated to the name Yeshua, made of just 4 letters, Yud, Shin, Vav, Ayin. And the term man over the congregation invokes several apostolic passages about the Messiah and his assembly, us disciples of Yeshua. For example, Rav Shaul Paul says, the man is the head of the woman, even as Messiah, Mashiach Yeshua, is the head of the ecclesia, of the body, the congregation, in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 23. The English word that is usually translated in a lot of Bibles is the word church, but that is a mistranslation of the Greek word for assembly or congregation. The word church carries this connotation that doesn't align with the Jewish message of the Gospels or Paul within Judaism itself. And so the Greek word there is best in context to be translated as assembly or congregation, if you will, the body. He is also the head of the body, the congregation, Colossians chapter 1, verse 18. Peter told the congregation of Israel assembled in the temple that Yeshua is the Messiah appointed for you, Acts chapter 3, verse 20, and he is a man whom God has appointed, Acts chapter 17, verse 3, and the one who has been appointed by God, Acts chapter 10, verse 42, right? So the Torah states that only some of the Spirit was taken from Moses and placed upon Joshua, Yehoshua, which shows the temporary nature of his appointment. Israel, however, needs a shepherd, a Yehoshua, a Joshua that is without limits, who is eternal and everlasting. So unlike Joshua, who only had some of the Spirit placed upon him, Messiah Yeshua, on the other hand, according to Colossians 2:9, has the fullness of deity indwelled within him in bodily form. And his reign is forever. It is eternal. It is perpetual. He leads us to our spiritual promised land today as we live out our lives in teshuva and in discipleship with him, as we cling to him and abide in him daily. And he will return physically to literally and physically lead his people, Israel and the Gentile world that cling to him, to the literal and physical promised land of Israel. As is prophesied, God will return his people back to the land, and he's doing that already as we speak. He's also combining the two sticks as we speak of Judah and Ephraim. And then, you know, the Gentile world, the Gentiles who cling to Messiah and who have been brought forth and brought into the commonwealth of Israel, they will be joined along as well in this great capturing and this great catching away into the land of Israel. So if you believe in rapture theology, I don't believe that we're going to be caught away and raptured up into the air and just kind of float around for a while. I believe that the context of that is we're going to be brought by Messiah, by his angelic forces, by some spiritual, supernatural means, we're going to be brought to the land, the physical, literal land of Israel upon Mount Zion, where he will rule and reign for all and eternity, defeating all enemies and obstacles in the way, of course, and making them our footstool. Now, the message and calling of Yeshua and the apostles also share the theme of zeal in this week's Parsha as well, right? So the Lord said, he was jealous with my jealousy among them, and so that I did not destroy the sons of Israel in my jealousy. Numbers chapter 25, verse 11. Now the Hebrew word there, kina, which is ordinarily translated as jealousy, also means zeal. And in this week's Parsha, that's actually a better translation for the context itself. The modern term for zeal or zealot could also technically be translated, and this is a bit of a trigger warning, is, you know, the zealots could technically be known as terrorists, if you will, because it is based on an act of political violence, and that's really what it is. But it's a different type of terrorism. It's just that's the kind of modern word that people would use and mainstream media would use is terrorists. But back then, they were known as the zealots. And during the time of Yeshua and the apostles, there was actually a sect of Jews known as the zealots who often acted very aggressively, almost like mercenaries at times, toward the Romans as well. If you watch the show The Chosen, I personally enjoy The Chosen series. They have Simon the Zealot. In some Bible translations, I believe he's known as Simon the Canaanite, but that's, again, this comes down to a misunderstanding of the Hebrew word kina. Some people in some translations think kina is supposed to be Cana, or Simon of Cana, or Simon of Canaan, but in reality, the translation is kina, which means zealot or jealousy. So Simon the Zealot is there, and his whole backstory is in that show, where he's training in these martial arts, and he's, you know, using weapons, and then Yeshua famously grabs his dagger and just throws it, chucks it into the water, and says, "Yeah, you don't need that anymore." But that's the message of Yeshua, is that there's a different type of zeal that he's looking for as disciples of Yeshua, right? So the zealots, in a way, they were acting very similarly to Pinchas and also the Maccabees in the famous story of the Hanukkah account in the book of Maccabees. However, zeal is easily misplaced. It is easy to be zealous for the Lord and his Torah, but then turn that into a weapon that destroys rather than heals. Now, before the Damascus Road incident and experience, Rav Shaul, Paul, pursued believers with a zeal very similar to that of Pinchas. He in his epistle to the Philippians, he mentioned his testimony as a persecutor of the believers as evidence of his misplaced zeal for God in chapter 3, verse 6. So this misplaced zeal, it's very easy to get sucked into. And I see this a lot in the Messianic movement, where believers are coming into the Messianic movement, and they're so zealous for the Torah, they're so zealous for the commandments of God, and you know, they're wearing tzitzits, and that's usually where it starts almost, and keeping Shabbat, and keeping a kosher diet of some kind, and keeping the festivals, and blowing the shofar, you know, all these things, which are great. These are great symbols, but these are not means in and of themselves. They are not the very meaning of our faith and discipleship and relationship with Yeshua. They're just symbols of something that is far greater and far bigger and far more inviting than we can ever even imagine in symbolic form. And so, unfortunately, a lot of these people will come into the Messianic movement. They have this identity crisis going on, and so they become zealous for these things and not zealous in actuality for a relationship, a true intimate relationship with Yeshua. And that's where this misguided zeal can come in. And you know, and they weaponize the Torah. They go back to their churches, or they go back to the people they once fellowshipped with in a church setting, and they say, "You're not wearing tzitzit in at all, and you're not keeping the Sabbath, and you're condemned, and you're cursed, and blah 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 blah." And you see this is a misplaced zeal. This is like Rav Shaul before the Damascus Road incident. And Rav Shaul thought that he was on the side of God. He thought he was doing God's work of going against these believers. He thought that they were, you know, false believers, false teachers, or false prophets teaching another way. And he was just misguided the entire time, although he was filled with the zeal that he thought was for the Lord. But it turned out it was the exact opposite. It turned out he was actually fighting against the Lord. And so that's something that we need to all take into consideration in our own lives, and to take inventory in our own lives in prayer, asking for the Ruach HaKodesh, the Holy Spirit, to reveal within us misplaced zeal for the Lord. What am I zealous for that truly isn't of God? Or what am I zealous for that I think is of God, but I'm actually leaning on my own understanding? And I need to have a mindset shift. I need to make teshuvah. You know, that's something that we can all take into account for our lives. Now, what is the zeal that as disciples, as Talmudim of Yeshua should have? Well, number one, John chapter 2, verse 17, his disciples remembered that it is written, "Zeal for your house will consume me." So number one, we are to be zealous for the house of the Father, to live with the Father, to live in his house as David prayed, to be in his house for all my days, to have that sense of hospitality, that we are not only welcomed, but we need to show that hospitality to others, to welcome them in as well, no matter where they are in their season, in their life, in their faith walk, in their journey, or lack thereof. To be hospitable, to be loving, and to rejoice in the Father's house, to rejoice that in his closeness, to rejoice in that intimacy. Number two, Acts chapter 21, verse 20 says, "And when they heard, they began glorifying God. They said, 'You see, brother, how many myriads there are among the Jewish people who have believed, and they are all zealous for the Torah.'" So number two, we are to be zealous for the righteous and holy Torah of God that was revealed to Moses, but then also expounded upon, not expanded upon, but expounded upon. There is a massive difference there. Expounded upon by Yeshua's teachings, where in Judaism we have a concept known as the Torah Mashiach, the Torah of Messiah. It's not a new Torah. It's a elevated Torah. And so that is in the reading of the book of Hebrews, you know, when it talks about where there is a change in the priesthood, there must be a change in the law. I don't believe that the Greek word there for change is actually the correct context. I think it's best in context to be more understood as an ascension, or a elevation, or a translation to a higher plane, a higher status, an exalted status. And so I believe that since there is an exaltation of the priesthood, there is an ascension of the priesthood, because Yeshua is the priest of the order of Melchizedek. He is the high priest in the heavenly realm. He is an ascended high priest. He is in the heavenly realm. So too, the law is not changed, but it is ascended as well. It is exalted as well. It is translated to a higher status, right? And so we are to be zealous for the righteous and holy Torah of God as it was revealed to Moses in the first five books of Moses, and then expounded upon and elevated and lifted up and exalted and fulfilled through Messiah Yeshua. His Torah is filled with wisdom, and that's another thing, is that when new people come into this messianic movement, which praise God they do, this misguided zeal could be hyper-focused on the Torah given to Moses only, and reading it by the letter, and forgetting that there's a whole nother realm involved. There's the spiritual realm as well. Now, the spiritual realm does not nullify the physical. That's the other side of the coin that is equally dangerous, the hyper-grace movement as well. That kind of fits into that umbrella. We need to stay in the middle. There is a balance of the physical and the spiritual. There is a balance there. We can't go too far on one side or the other, because then we lose the message. We lose the whole point of the Torah. And so, so we need to be zealous for the righteousness of the Torah of God and not weaponize it, not turn it into a tool of wounding, but rather a tool of healing, not only for ourselves and our lives, but for others as well. And number three, Titus chapter 2, verse 14, he gave himself for us so that he might redeem us from every lawless deed, and so that he might purify for himself a chosen people zealous for good deeds. So number three, we are to be zealous for good deeds. And then this can go beyond just the normal Torah, right? We're taking care of the orphans, the widows, the poor, which is also a Torah command as well. But when we go out into our daily lives, making sure that we're driving correctly, making sure that we are not causing a stumbling block to others, making sure that that we are, when we go to a grocery store, and this happens to me all the time because I'm tall, being a little over 6'2" comes with its advantages. When people that are not as tall as me, they're vertically challenged, if you want to use that term, they ask, hey, can you reach up there, up to that top shelf and grab me something? It's like, yeah, absolutely. Of course I can. Here you go. Right. And so that's good deeds, right? You're being a light of Yeshua. You are visiting the sick, you are praying for the sick. If you hear someone is sick or injured or imprisoned in your own congregation, God forbid, but if it does happen, how do you react? Is your first thought of inconvenience, or is your first thought, how can I help, right? And so be zealous for good deeds. Be zealous to help not only those believers in your own community, but for the neighbor, for the Samaritan, if you will, on the outside, the Samaritans that are around us, all around us. You know, what is our first reaction? What is our first thoughts? What are our first feelings when facing situations in our daily lives? We need to be zealous for good deeds, zealous for the eyes of God, zealous for the eyes of Yeshua, to see with his eyes, to feel with his heart, to have his compassion, and to speak with his words as well. Now, you know, I don't believe that we should be resorting to violence like the zealots did in the past. Although, you know, there are people who are called into the ministry position of guarding and be physical as well as spiritual warriors. Unfortunately, in the situation that we see ourselves today, especially in Messianic Judaism and non-Messianic Judaism, a lot of synagogues are attacked and targeted by anti-Semites, and and terrorist attacks, you know, the misguided zealots, if you will. And we have to have guards. We have to have armed guards. And there are congregations where congregants are also armed with concealed carry as well, concealed carry weapons. And so it's an unfortunate situation that we have to find ourselves in, but there are some people who are called into that ministry as well. And again, we have to check our hearts. Why are we called? Why do we feel called into that kind of a ministry? If you are that person, is it because you have a desire for violence of some kind, or you're like, oh man, I can't wait to put someone in their place? Like, if you have that kind of mindset, I don't believe that it's your time or season to be in that situation. Our first desire should not be, oh, I can't wait for action. Okay. That should not be our first reaction. That should not be our first feeling, our first desire. Our first desire should be shalom, peace, that if an attacker comes in, that the Lord will just come upon him, that the Lord will send his warring angels to just guard the congregation and will, you know, change their vision, change their intentions, right? We need to pray for shalom. That should be our first reaction. But at the same time, there are people that are called into this ministry who are specifically trained to take action when action is needed. And I think that that is a bold, righteous, godly calling for some people. But we should all believers need to stand boldly. We are all called to stand boldly and confront wickedness with the spirit of boldness that comes from only the Ruach HaKodesh, the Holy Spirit, and the Word of God, the Word of truth, right? That is our sword. Our sword is the Word of God, and our shield is our faith. That is that Ephesians 6. That is our warrior mentality. That's what our warrior mentality should always be. We should be zealous to do good works, not for salvation, of course, but as a loving and motivated response to our salvation. We should also pray for those who persecute us and count all trials as joy, since we get to share in the suffering of Messiah. May he return speedily and soon in our days. Shalom, shalom. Thank you for listening to this week's Parsha. If you're not yet following this podcast, it definitely helps a lot with the algorithms. Feel free to give this podcast a like if you're watching on YouTube. Subscribe, follow the podcast, rate it. There should be on your podcast platforms a rating area. You can rate it. You can also send comments as well and share it with those that you feel led to share it with. I pray for blessings upon every single one of you that are listening to this. I pray that you have a blessed week, Shavuot Tov, and a blessed Shabbat if it's coming up or if it is Shabbat for you. And may Yeshua come speedily and in our days. Maranatha.
Thank you for listening to Messianic Moments. We're grateful for your time and passion for biblical truth. We pray that this episode has been a blessing for you. You can bless us in return by subscribing to the podcast and by leaving a review to help this ministry grow. Stay tuned for more episodes. Until then, Maranatha.
Have you ever had a moment where you think, man, someone should really do something about this? Then you realize, maybe that someone is you. Well, with the help of GoFundMe, you can change someone's life. You could start a GoFundMe to help a friend pay for school, fund that new community space, or help a local kid finally get to that national competition. I've seen this myself. Last year, a friend of mine launched a GoFundMe to help with medical bills after an unexpected surgery. It was incredible how fast the support rolled in. People want to help. They just need a way to do it. And GoFundMe makes it easy. So, do you have a dream, a person, or a cause in your life that could use some support? Don't wait for someone else to bring change. You can be the one who makes a difference. GoFundMe is the world's number one fundraising platform, trusted by over 200 million people. Start your GoFundMe today at GoFundMe.com. That's GoFundMe.com. GoFundMe.com. Have you ever had a moment where you think, man, someone should really do something about this? Then you realize maybe that someone is you. Well, with the help of GoFundMe, you can change someone's life. You could start a GoFundMe to help a friend pay for school, fund that new community space, or help a local kid finally get to that national competition. I've seen this myself. Last year, a friend of mine launched a GoFundMe to help with medical bills after an unexpected surgery. It was incredible how fast the support rolled in. People want to help. They just need a way to do it. And GoFundMe makes it easy. So, do you have a dream, a person, or a cause in your life that could use some support? Don't wait for someone else to bring change. You can be the one who makes a difference. GoFundMe is the world's number one fundraising platform, trusted by over 200 million people. Start your GoFundMe today at GoFundMe.com. That's GoFundMe.com. GoFundMe.com.